Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damon Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
And thank you so much for tuning in. Hope y'all enjoyed last week's episode of 28 Years Later. I think that's what we watched, yeah.
Yep, that's what we watched.
Yeah, sorry, week. I get all these movies. Yeah. I watch so many movies, I get confused. Yeah, we did watch that because of the movie we're reviewing this week. I thought it was perfect because I saw it pop up. Going through Tubi. Tubi has some bangers, and it has some misses, and it has some hits. And I thought this week, it was a hit in a way in my book, just because of like what we review, what we watch. We kind of have similar tastes in some way. And I sent you this one, like, hey, dude.
Yeah, because we were going to do something like completely different. And then it was, you know, we were conferring, and then found out that on the 27th of June, this one had come out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it had a name that rang familiar, and, you know, so.
Yeah, so this week we decided to do Don't Feed the Children.
Please don't feed the children.
Oh, please don't feed the children. I forget that part.
They're very polite.
Yeah, please.
Don't feed the children.
Please don't feed the children. Directed and the debut film of the daughter of Steven Spielberg, Destry Allen Spielberg.
Yep.
This movie it's a debut film. It was released on Tubi. It was like a Tubi original. It was you know, a feature. Like, hey, by the way, here's some originals. Like, you know, the Tubi originals. Now, I will say, for it being a Tubi original, it has some great film work, some good acting.
Yeah.
For it being Tubi, because, you know, Tubi can have some.
Tubi can have, I mean, you know. But Tubi, like, in defense of Tubi, mm-hmm. Tubi is the full spectrum.
Yes,
like,
true.
It's, you know, you can get some, like, you know, Peter Rottentail, which I liked, but which obviously was a horrible B-movie.
CGI, and then, you know, was terrible.
No, that was Beasterday.
Oh, Beasterday, sorry.
Beasterday was, yeah. Peter Rottentail had, like, nothing, like,
visible. Oh, that's right, it was like a...
It was a guy in literally a rabbit costume, yeah. With a, like, Rasta shaman.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this movie, seeing the trailer for it caught my eye. And then after we did 28 Years Later, I was like, dude, this would probably be pretty good. You know, we're kind of keeping with a theme. Infected. Cool. Then we watched the movie. And I will say, if you have not seen it, it is not a bad film to check out. I will say this. Despite what reviews say, because there is a ton, and I might go over some, it's not, like, terrible. Despite what your views are right now with Steven Spielberg, I get it, whatever. To me, it's just a director, you know? You know, I don't like Arnold Schwarzenegger because he was a politician or because he was a weightlifter. He was Terminator. He was in Predator. That's why I liked him. You know, he was just a jack dude who was, like, killing things. That's what that was cool about him. So, despite what you have opinions, like, check it out. It wasn't bad, like people are saying. I think there's just a lot of hate right now for everything, honestly. I mentioned it at the end of last episode, about how people are just, like, super critiquing movies and stuff like that. And super critiquing actors, directors, stuff like that. I think it's just, it's going on with Superman now.
You're not
going
to get bangers every time. You're not you know, nothing is going to be like, you know, top tier, like, you know, 10 out of 10 stars every time.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything you've got to watch with, you know, a grain of salt.
Yeah.
And if you're not into, you know, like outbreak movies and infection movies, then it's not going to be up your alley.
Yeah.
Just like if, you know, you're not into, you know, paranormal. It's like, yeah, Conjuring's not going to be for you.
Yeah, there's people who love found footage. There's people who absolutely despise found footage.
Yeah.
That's fine. It, you know, there's what the good thing about this genre is there's something for everyone. And, you know, this I enjoyed. I watched. However, there are a lot of things to critique in this movie. So if you haven't seen it, A gang of orphans travels to the South in quest of a new life after a viral outbreak decimates the adult population of the nation, only to find themselves at the mercy of a psychotic woman who is hiding a precious secret. I want to say precious, but who's hiding a secret.
That was pretty precious.
Well, it was precious to her.
My precious. That.
So the movie is pretty much, the infection. There's an infection. It was started out with children, and it was killing the adults. And
the children were immune.
Yeah. Or they weren't immune. They were the leading cause. So people started blaming the children. A lot of children got abandoned, got orphaned, and had to survive on their own. And so they pretty much blamed, which I thought was a good story. Dude, this like infection that's leaving these.
It started really well. I really thought that they were going to carry on with that. You know, I really thought that they were going to amplify that whole situation. Especially they kind of make, you know, they have like internment camps and stuff.
Yeah, they have like these camps where they.
You can go and sign your children over. And like, yeah, pretty much. Your children are ward of the state now. Yeah. So.
You quarantine your children, or you kind of just sell your children off, have them quarantined off in a section, and you live, you know, happy that, you know, you're not going to get infected, I guess. But, yeah, it's a cool little dystopian thing that, you know, has these kids, these, it's like 5 or 6 kids that are, you know, trying to survive. Yes, you know, their stakes are high because, you know, if you get caught, they're called wranglers, like these people that are called wranglers. They're police, pretty much, just like a, you know, militarized team that, you know, any kids that are found, they're, like, captured and taken to these camps or killed, unfortunately. But your main character is Mary, who's played by Zoe Coletti. And she's kind of like a main character in this movie who's trying to survive. She meets up with this group of kids who doesn't trust her at first, which I totally understand. There was a lot of crap that she did that pissed me off. But there was a lot of stuff that the kids did, too, that pissed me off.
Yeah, they were a bunch of little creeps.
A big thing that people were critiquing was, like, oh, these kids are making, like, stupid mistakes, and who would do the, like, that's what was the one critique of the movie, is, like, the writing was terrible, but at the same time, they're kids. They're gonna make stupid decisions.
I think, you know, I'll throw devil's advocate on this one. Uh-huh. Like, yes, the first 2, maybe 3 times.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, like, there are scenes where there are people doing horrible things to these kids. And you get a chance to where you have the upper hand. Now, I can understand the first time being like, hey, I've never hurt someone to that extent. I've never maimed someone. I've never killed someone.
Yeah.
But after you watch them lay waste to your friends, this, that, there's a level where you just cross that threshold. And yes, eliminating that person is a viable option.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, whereas, you know, I might not be readily engaged to, like, just obviously go outside and kill someone right now.
Yeah.
But if they do something horrific to my family and kill some of my family members, I might be pushed to that level.
Yeah, like, hey, anybody who likes trains.
Yeah. You're dead. Oh, you're done. You're dead to me. Stay out the yard. So, yeah, but that's, you know, that's one thing I did see was, you know, they keep, you know, reliving the same bumblings there. Yeah. Oh, well, you know, you've killed my friend. How dare you? Oh, let me hit you with this little hammer. Now go to sleep. And it's like, no, the person keeps getting up.
That's the thing, dude, is I would have already kind of like.
I would have made sure, okay, I might not have killed you, but I would have hobbled you or something and made sure that you could not get back up and get at me.
Yeah, because, I mean, these kids have been, they're a little bit older. Like, they could have been abandoned very young, and now they're getting older. They're teens now. You know, they've probably seen some stuff and had to survive in certain ways, like, because they have a routine. You know, they would rob stores to get resources, get fuel, stuff like that. So they know what they're doing. When Mary gets with them, she's, like, she kind of breaks their routine because she, like, panics and wants to hurry up and get out of there, so she pulls a gun out on the store clerk and ends up getting one of them shot.
I think she's looking for more, like, in my field, that whole scene. So they go to basically rob supplies and sundries at the local gas station, whatever. And so they leave Mary in the car with two of the other kids, Seth and Crystal. Because the kids, there's five other kids. Three of them are family. There's Ben, the first kid that she runs into is Jeffy, and then there's her sister, Vicky.
Yeah.
And so with that, all three of the family kids go inside. Seth and Crystal stay in the car, and of course Mary's left because they don't trust her yet. So she's in the car. So of course, you know, when you're alone, you know, these two, they're like, oh, you know, we want to make out in front of Mary.
Okay, you're in a, like, I understand you do this every day, but you got to stay focused.
Yeah.
Like, you got to do...
Well, on top of that, if you're hitting the same place every day, you've got to be prepared for the fact that they're going to get wise to your routine.
Yeah.
You're walking in there every day and acting like, hey, the oldest kid, he goes through Ben, he goes through, and he starts flirting with the cashier.
Yeah.
Oh, do you have any tattoos? I like tattoos. I want to get a tattoo. And that was another thing that kind of, like, threw me off. Ben looks like he's probably like 18, 19 years old.
Yeah.
When exactly do you stop being a youth and start being an adult that they accept you back into society?
That's what I would have liked to know about like this virus of how it started. Now, mind you, it could have just been the writing, the budget, whatever it was, cut for time, I don't know. But yeah, I would have liked to know the origin of this virus, how it starts, why it started, you know, how it's transmitted, you know, stuff like that, you know, just like a little, you don't have to do like a whole
opening. Even the side effects, they didn't even really show like any, like, I mean, the infection.
Yeah, you don't being see what it was.
You don't see it like ravaging, you know, it's not,
yeah.
It's not 28 years later. Like you don't see like it infecting and progressing and moving.
Yeah. Cause just... at least in 28 days later, you know, they have like that opening scene where you see how it starts.
Yeah.
And why it started.
And the people, for the most part, don't know, you know, where it came from or how it originated.
Yeah.
But you can see the effects of it, obviously.
Yeah, but you see how it started. Yeah. Yeah. But you don't know, yeah, stuff like that. But, yeah, that's one thing. Like, I would have liked to have seen some infected in some way, shape, or form, you know. But I guess it could be like, oh, like, they keep it very tight so where a lot of people... All right, so this could be like...
They were proactive. They got a jump on it, and they were able to basically, you know... Yeah.
Like, it got out of control for a bit.
Yeah, but then they were able to, like, stabilize, get everything grouped back together. And that's why society is kind of beginning to regain its normality, except for the fact that we've all given our children away.
Yeah, and that they don't trust kids, and they will, like, you're literally an outlaw if you are a kid, pretty much. So, yeah, this thing at the gas station goes wrong and, you know, Mary screws it up. And so they go and they run out of gas in the middle of nowhere and they find, this house who the lady who owns it as Clara. And she, you know, one of them has been shot. So she's like, oh, I'm a nurse. Like, I'll help you. And so they help him out. They're like, okay, cool. But they don't trust adults. Obviously, if you're getting hunted by adults and you're pretty much like public enemy number one, if you're under the age of 18, then yeah, you know, you wouldn't trust adults. So they get the help. She gives them sweets and stuff like that.
That was another thing that like it kind of pulled on. So Clara is played by Michelle Dockery, and she's from like Downton Abbey and like English shows.
I understand that.
And, you know, but she was like, you know, she was referencing like sweets and like it's like.
She was very.
Proper.
Proper. Now, mind you, you're in the desert, in the middle of a desert.
Yeah.
In Arizona.
No, they were in New Mexico.
Oh, I mean, in New Mexico. Sorry.
They were right next door. That's one thing that kind of like won me over about the movie and got me involved in wanting to see the movie. It was geographically close enough to us to where I was like, oh, a film that maybe is like representing the culture that we live in day to day.
Yeah. And then that's the thing is she's dressed up in like what some like backwoods or, you know, country person would dress like, you know, a dress, you know, and boots. I've seen people dress like that, you know, but then you have this very, you know,
refined way of speaking.
Yeah. And this English accent, like, okay. So now that's what bothered me. It's like, dude, at least have like an American accent. You don't have to have a.
You could have even gone so far. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to rewrite the movie, but you could have even, due to the fact that, you know, you do have the tribes localized in Arizona and New Mexico, you could have had someone speaking Navajo. There's a large Navajo population in Albuquerque, and they're supposed to only be 58 minutes from Albuquerque and Denning.
Yeah.
You could have had somebody have, you know, like, you know, a native accent. But rather than that, you have somebody who's like the Queen's English.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it just didn't feel right. But I also think that that played good into it because she is a villain. She is the bad guy. So to have that off-putting accent that isn't normalized in that region of the country could also play into the hand of...
True.
You could get the read off the person and be like, hey, she ain't like us. So, like, literally, like, she's different. She's calling cookies sweets. That, like, you know, but like I said, if you're Navajo, then you have, like, sweet bread. But that's the only time you use sweet.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Yeah, sweets and ice cream and...
Yeah, it was like her whole infatuation. Like,
The way she talked was kind of weird, and that could be it. That could just be like, hey, this is gonna make you feel weird because obviously you have, you know, the American accent, and then you know, set in the middle of New Mexico in New Mexico, and then you have this weird English accent that has like no like an alien pretty much
no reason for being there.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that was, yeah, I could see that. I could see that. If I'm looking like that, I can see it.
Yeah, I mean, every dark cloud has a silver lining. And so I looked for things that were good in this movie. Is there bad in this movie? Yes.
Yes, it's real easy to find the bad in this movie.
It's real easy to just like throw it out on its ear and disregard it.
Because some of the acting, while it is not terrible, as some people say, it's not bad. I mean, could have been better. Yeah, of course. But at the same time, it's a very low-budget movie. You know, you have influencers and child actors that are playing in it, so...
Yeah, it's not like you have, you know...
Like, well, you do have Giancarlo Esposito.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I definitely, you know, Gus from Breaking Bad, you know,
That's weird, too, because, yeah, he's from Breaking Bad, obviously also set in,
In New Mexico, in Albuquerque. Yeah, so he's, you know, from Albuquerque, you know, from the Burke, so it's like, yeah, That pulled everything together for me. I was like, yeah, like I'm on board for this.
Yeah, so pretty much she plays this nice part. She helps the older gentleman.
Ben.
Yeah, Ben. You know,
she stitches him up.
With this wound, which here's what bothered me about that. Okay, he got shot in the shoulder, but then he's limping.
Yeah.
That's what bothered me. And I'm like, dude, why is he limping? Like, he got shot in the shoulder. Hell, even John Wick was, like, shot, like, you know, fucking 100 times.
It's John Wick, man.
He needed that jacket that John Wick had.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I've never been shot, but I'm sure if you get shot, you know, in the shoulder, you're not limping like you got shot in the leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got shot one time in the shoulder, and he was, like, limping. They had to carry him. And, like, why are they carrying him? His legs are fine.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, he's probably in pain. He probably doesn't have use of his arm. But, like, his legs work fine.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is, like, the way that she treats the wound, you never see. Was it just a straight in and out? Because all she's doing is stitching it up. Well, the bullet's in there. She never takes the bullet out.
Well, that's my thing, too, is, yeah, she stitches it. I think that's what she says, like, it was in and out. I think that's what she said.
Well, they never stitched it back.
Oh, then it was just in. That's
yeah, it was just in. It just remained. Yeah,
keep it as a trophy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that. That's like that fragment 50 cents jawbone. Yeah, it just hold on to that.
Yeah. So she stitches him up, and he's still like. I mean, I can understand the pain, but if she treated you, you know, you might not have use, but you should be in better condition than you were going in.
Yeah.
You know,
and it keeps bleeding. Like, you see it, like, because...
Yeah, if she was a nurse, she treated you, because she had, like, a whole setup.
Yeah.
She had her light.
IV drips, everything. Yeah.
So he shouldn't be bleeding anymore. They weren't, like, after he gets stitched up, he's, like, not running or anything. What happens is she gives him cookies, then they want to rob her, because, like I said, they don't trust people, but they also don't want to hurt people. Like, they just need resources. They need a car. They need stuff like that. Their van ran out of gas.
And they see, you know, they know that she has a car in the barn. So they're putting two and two together because they're basically casing the joint. They're looking at all the pictures, all the photographs, everything in the house.
Yeah. So Vicky, the sister of the group, she pulls out a gun on her. It's like, you know, give me the keys. Like, you know, that's it. And she's like, really, you're going to rob me? Like, after I helped you, like, you're going to really
give you sweets.
Give you sweets.
Give you cookies.
Do this to me. How dare you? So that happens. My thing with some of the characters, like Vicky, she's the sister to Jeffy, right? I wanted her to have some redeeming qualities. The problem is you write her as this ass, because she is. I understand she's like trying to protect her brother, but you also have like qualities to you. You know, you have to have some kind of redeeming qualities in some way to be a good character.
Nope.
And she did not. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, maybe she'll make up for it. Like, I can understand the beginning with Mary because she didn't know who Mary was. They still don't know who Mary is. And she's very protective. You know, she needs to make sure her brothers are, you know.
Yeah, it's family.
Her family, her close family is protected.
Absolutely.
And you have some outsider coming in. So I can understand her animosity towards Mary. Like, she does not like her. Right? But, like, some of the stuff, like, she says, like, in some of the situations, I'm like, dude, why are you being, like, an ass? Or why are you acting like this? Like, why are you escalating a situation that can just be easily be like, hey, like, give us the car, that's it. Well, the problem is, they ate the cookies already, and then they decide to rob her. Well, she slipped something in their cookie, or she baked something into the cookies, knocks them all out. And they wake up in the attic, except for, Mary wakes up in a bedroom.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming is the bedroom of her daughter.
Of the daughter. And then Seth wakes up basically getting a shower.
Like a cleaning chamber, pretty much. Like this, you know.
Yeah, like a prison shower.
Yeah. To where he gets cleaned off and something happens to him. Like, all you see is, like, he's naked. He's in his underwear. He gets washed off. And door opens behind him, or like this actually like this freaking vault door opens behind him.
Yeah.
And leads into another room, and that's you just hear like a loud scream, and that's it. He disappears. You don't see him again. But yeah, they're all kept up in the attic, and she tells them to take their clothes off, switch to some like asylum clothing.
Yeah, like just standard white pajama looking things. And
And then maybe that's what she was. Maybe she was like, she worked in like a mental ward or something like that. Cause
you can read into this movie six ways to Sunday as to what was going on. I mean, it had a very, almost like the creepy parents in like, you know, the creepy brother, sister, and the people under the stairs. It had that kind of feel to it because it's also kind of like the same deal. It's these out of place, you know, white colonists who have all these African-American kids living in the basement or living in the attic. And it kind of had that same vibe and feel to me, at least.
Yeah.
I was like, I was feeling that, you know, like fool is trying to do right by his family and people under the stairs and then goes through. And then of course, like he meets Roach, the crazy little, little white kid. And it's, you know, not Friday Roach, everybody. Or next Friday.
But yeah, this movie, yeah, it was all over the place. So she keeps him in the attic. And that's the thing is I liked that kind of premise, is having still a psychopath within a, you know, a horrible event going on, you know, like still a serial killer, even though there's like infected running around or zombies running around, you know, you have that, you know, a horror inside of a horror story.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. The only part is you got to have that other element there to kind of be like still represented, like showing maybe somebody getting eaten or somebody getting shot because they're turning or, you know, something like that.
Yeah, if you're going to start it as an infection movie, that's what you're going to base everything. You have to revisit it.
Yeah. So you get introduced to Fitz, who is the wrangler or the head wrangler, or he's like, he deals with the kids, like wrangling up kids pretty much. He's like, he's a cop or local sheriff, I guess you could say, playing by Giancarlo.
Cause he found the Chevy Astro van abandoned down the street.
Yeah. So. He found their van empty, no gas down the street, and her house is the only one nearby. So you know, they check in. And then you get the insight between them that, you know, they both had kids and they had to give them up because of the infection. Because, of course, all the kids were susceptible to get the infection. And so they gave up their children. They talk about their children. They cry a little bit. And she talks about her husband and how he was his best friend and all that. So they're very close before the infection started. And then, you know, you get that insight or whatever. Okay, cool. Now we have some backstory. So we know what's going on. We know that she sees Mary as probably her daughter. And she probably, like, hates the kids for some reason. Well, we find out that she hates the kids because they don't deserve to live. And good people do deserve to live. And so, yeah. So she has, like, this trauma pretty much is what's driving her to kind of act like this. To, you know, imprison these kids in her house and keep Mary as a hostage. So it's like a replacement
like a daughter. Like a mini-me kind of. Yeah.
So pretty much, like, helping her do her bidding. Like, there was even that scene where, you know, they have to get the... Because they... Vicky escapes the house. They find a hole, or they make a hole
in the room. They tear the sink out of the wall, and they're able to climb down into the attic.
Yeah.
And then...
The main attic. The actual attic.
Yeah, the actual
not
attic.
Not the prison room
attic. Yeah, not the prison room attic. The holiday storage attic. Because there's a reindeer in there.
Yeah.
And so she goes into that room, and then she's able to drop down through the roof into a room that's kind of set up almost in memoriam for Hank.
Yeah, Hank.
The husband that, you know, Clara keeps referencing throughout the whole film.
Yeah, he was also an officer. He tried to help out the infected and all that. Like, she even talks about how he was trying to save the world. So you see, like, what he was doing before he passed away. You know, he was...
But, yeah, Clara keeps referencing as though he's, like, still alive.
Yeah, because
trauma. He's going to be home soon.
Yeah.
You know, she keeps saying, he's going
to
be home
soon. Or I talked to him last night. Yeah. And, you know, and Mary's like... Hank's not here. Like, he might be dead.
I ain't seen Hank yet, but...
Hank's supposed to be off of work, and he hasn't been off of work in 2 days.
Yeah, so Vicky, like, scout goes through, and she finds some matches.
Yeah, and their bright idea is Clara has a greenhouse on her property where she grows all her food, and she's going to burn that down. She's going to have to go out there, and then they'll escape, right? That's the plan. But, of course... Clara, being one step ahead of all these kids, she does escape, and she goes to the greenhouse, and Clara's like, oh, you, nice try.
Yeah.
Takes her up there, and then when they're going to interrogate him, she tells Mary to give him a shock collar, and they're like, oh, like, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, how did you escape? She's asking him how they escaped, and it's like, he's like, oh, we're not saying anything.
So then she's going to put the shock collar on Jeffy. Jeffy's going to get it.
Yeah, so like, Jeffy's going to get it. Because
he looks like the little kid from Hole.
Yeah. Mary gives him the shock collar, and...
Vicky just steps right up.
She's like, oh, I'll do it. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I get it. He's your brother. But the thing that I hated was she's like, she goes, press the button. Like, we're lying, so press the button. You know, punish me. Or what did she say? Listen to mommy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, dude, she's in the same boat that y'all are in. She just probably happens to look like her daughter.
Yeah. Well, but you got to think. If me and, like, five of my friends get kidnapped, right? Like, it's just reasonable. Okay, we're all, like, at a museum, and we all get kidnapped. And, you know, we're all under 18. And then next thing that I know, somebody ends up missing. And then that person's, like, up at the big house. That person's got, like, you know, normal clothes. And I'm wearing some, like, you know... scooter PJs.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's going on? And then I'm looking out the window at the only freedom I can see. And you're out there living it up, eating like fruits and vegetables, you know, pineapple. I'm getting gruel.
Well, no, remember before that, when Vicky was out there.
Yeah.
You know,
they were coming back from the greenhouse.
Yeah.
He was trying to distract her.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, hey, like, keep her out there. So they knew that she wasn't in
they knew she wasn't playing along, but still, you're gonna have some
animosity. I don't know, man.
I'd have some hate. I would, like, just straight up.
Okay.
I would feel some type of way about it. Like, if you're not having to live like me, if you, especially considering that you got me here.
That's true.
You got to think about it.
That's true.
You got my brother shot. The only reason that we're here is because my little brother dropped the gasoline, or we'd be out in the Astro van cruising around Las Cruces.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, not only that, because...
You got my brother shot. You got my little brother to drop the gasoline, which we'd be cruising around. Seth would be around, hanging around. Who the hell knows where Seth is? Because we don't know. He's just been disappearing. Okay? Crystal, who's a hell of a lot closer to me than you are, is, like, having a nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
Because Seth isn't here, her lover muffin. Like... What the hell is going on?
True, okay.
On top of that, you're wearing pretty, pretty princess dresses, walking around. You know, even if you're trying to act like you're on my team, there's
What I thought was funny is her name's Mary.
Yeah.
She was dressed up just like Mary from Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
Because mind you, these aren't, when we say dresses, they're not like princess dress or like fancy dresses. No. These are like old school, like.
Yeah, they're like the creepy kid off the, like the creepy
like the Waltons, off the Shining. If you know what the Waltons are, yeah. You know, stuff like that. Like old country dresses. Yeah, not like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, nothing pretty. I mean, they're pretty in a way, but they're not, they're just like casual
yeah.
country dresses.
They're workwear.
Yeah.
If anything, they're made by Carhartt. They are not comfortable.
If you've seen Little House on the Prairie, those dresses right yeah. there. That's how she's dressed.
Yeah.
So, but... I guess I could see that. Maybe I was like, well, dude, maybe because we were seeing more of her point of view, of yeah. Mary's point of view. And I'm like, well, dude, cut her some slack. She's like having to deal with fucking psycho lady down there.
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather be up in the attic than having to eat dinner with this crazy lady.
Yeah. And try to act like everything's okay. Or not act, but like try to act normal so this lady doesn't flip out on you. Like if you twist, you know, eat your ice cream wrong, she'll like have a nervous breakdown.
But then, you know, if you look, she was also doing some stupid stuff. I mean, she's trying to steal the butter knife, like she's gonna shank somebody with a butter knife.
Something so obvious. They're clearly eating food and they're gonna have to put butter on something, on their bread, and you're gonna take the butter knife. First of all, you have like a fork right there. The fork will work perfectly. You can stab her in the face.
It was just weird. It was like, this movie to me was just like a conglomeration or like a collage of all these weird films.
Of horror movie cliches.
It was. Misery with like yes. the whole, you know, you're trying to be, you know, people under the stairs. I mean, I was catching vapors off of all kinds of different movies through this movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, stick to one storyline. Like,
yeah.
I'm cool with it. Like, I'll follow your lead. But you've got to take me somewhere. I've got to have, like, you know, completion in this film.
Well, what I was pissed off is I'm not connecting to any of the characters.
No.
Even where you're seeing Mary's point of view, you're not connecting with her in any sort of way. Yeah, you're like, oh, this is kind of creepy. Clara's acting weird and she's a psycho and this and that. But you're not like, man, I hope Mary makes it out alive. Back in my mind, I was like, dude, if these kids die, like, I'll be cool with it.
Yeah.
Maybe Jeffy.
I wasn't even, really, truthfully, like, honestly, the way he even comes into the movie is a fantastic dick move.
Yeah.
Like, what, she, like, so, but basically, you know, Mary's sister, which they allude to, and they show, like, flashbacks.
Yeah.
So, her and her sister had tried to escape. Well, then the sniper team comes in and, like, snipes her sister and, like, blows her head out.
Well, my thing is, like, with that scene, with her flashback of how her sister died, you know, because she had a sister, that's why she's on her own, and she don't trust other kids or whatever. It's because they were trying to make it, you know, to a sanctuary, I guess you could say. And, you know, her sister dropped her teddy bear.
Had to go back for it,
and she ends up getting sniped because kids are lethal in this movie. You know, they're the ones who carry the virus. So, I get it, but even at that scene, I still could not connect with Mary.
No. Well, and on top of that, okay, so this outbreak is so infectious that, like, we kill on sight. Like, we snipe, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because the little teddy bear girl, whatever Mary's sister's name was, pick it up. Okay, she got, like, her dome blasted out the side, right? Yeah. Full on, right? But then when you first meet Mary and Jeffy comes into the court, Jeffy's wandering around being, like, a little looter. He's, like, stealing, like, little candies and crap from cars.
Yeah.
Which you could picture a kid doing. But Mary's, like, hiding out, trying to get onto, like, this bus to make it into, like, the safe
zone.
They're
trying to go south of the border.
Yeah.
And that's where it's, like, safe.
So then they go through, they're doing all of this, and the guards find out. Now, do the guards open fire? Do the guards unleash hell fury?
You're right.
Like they did on the sister's dome piece and just blow it out? No. They're like, maybe, hey, you, stop there.
Do you think maybe because the sister was, like, way, she was, like, maybe, like, what, 7, 8? Yeah, they sniped an 8-year-old. Like, yeah. They really did, like, literally.
I mean, it just shows, like, a level of bravado that, you like, you're not used to seeing in a movie. Sniped an 8-year-old. But then you're going to come through and show, right after the backside of the flashback, you're going to show a kinder, gentler nation. Where we now accept our children as running vagabonds.
Yeah, and maybe now they're just trying to capture them and kind of, you know, keep them isolated. I don't know. But it seemed like the sister thing didn't happen too long.
No.
Like, ago.
No, it's not like, you know, multiple years. Like, I just, there were a lot of loose ends. This
movie had a lot of stuff that, again, it was still, like, watchable. But there was, like, stuff like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Like, why would this be in the script? I understand they're kids, but now they're surviving kids, though. You know, I've seen kids that have been through a lot that think way, you know, higher than, like, maybe a freaking, you know, 40-year-old.
Well, yeah, your survival instincts kick in.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. So, throughout the movie, like, obviously, since Mary is under Claire's thumb through the whole movie, Mary is constantly looking for ways to basically, like, take Claire out.
They all are. Except for Ben. He's still shot.
Yeah, Ben is still shot in his leg / shoulder.
It's his shoulder that's connected to his leg.
Yeah. You take out the right side of somebody's shoulder and it hinders.
It just,
yeah, it severs the spinal column. But, yeah, so, you know, there's all these moments where, you know, Mary could totally take Claire out. You know, she poisons her. She poisons the tea.
Okay, my thing. Okay, so the final act, because there's not really a lot that happens in this movie besides, like, Giancarlo being like, or Fitz being like, you know, where are the kids? Like, you know, and she's finally breaks down. Clara's like, oh, I helped them. I shouldn't have helped them. I know it was illegal to help them, but they went to Las Cruces. And he's like, okay. But then he goes and he searches the property and he finds Seth's head in, like, a freaking, like, barbecue pit or something, like a smoker.
On the backside of the greenhouse.
Yeah. And so in the compost.
Yeah, in the compost, because Seth was compost.
Dude. Yeah, and human. So he's like, oh, my gosh. And that's when, you know, everything starts to break down. You know, Mary poisons her. That's the thing. Dump the whole bottle in the tea if she is, like,
this. Not only that. Okay, even if you don't have the gusto to, like, dump the whole bottle in, when she goes down, if you're not going to kill her,
tie her up. Tie the bitch up.
Chain her to something. Figure it out, girl.
Yeah.
Like, do something. But there's all these little, like, okay, it's like Mary has a...
Little lamb. Sorry, no.
Yeah, she has a little mouse.
Trap, yeah.
Yeah, she has a mouse trap underneath her bed. And so she pulls the pin out of it. And rather than using it as a weapon, like sharpening it on the floor, like a shank in prison, no, I'm going to sit there and I'm just going to use it as a lockpick. Why? Catch Claire in the neck. You know? Don't look at me, puppet. Just get to her. Be done with it. You know, make it happen. But
yeah, you're right. No, yeah.
No, it isn't. It, like, the logic just doesn't come into play. If you're not going to kill someone, if you don't have the gusto to kill someone, I understand. But you can definitely restrain them. Yeah. You're thinking about what you're going to do with this piece of a mouse.
Well, that's the thing, is you're smart enough to take the sleeping drops and wait for a time to put them in, you know, y'all's morning tea.
Yeah. Oh, and she was about that tea. Claire was about that tea. She was, like, addicted to it. It was like, you know, it was like White Monster. It was like, oh, man. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so she did. She put a whole dropper of that stuff in her tea. Knocks her out. But
very Nightmare Before Christmas.
So she goes to the barn. She grabs the Pontiac Thunderbird, is what it looked like.
Yeah.
And she drives up to the house, goes inside.
And could you park at a worst possible place? What is wrong with the getaway drivers in this movie? Like,
okay, we are getting to the scenes that pissed me off. There's only one smart thing that Mary did. Out of all the kids, probably Mary, like, did the only smart thing. Ben wasn't thinking. He got shot in the shoulder. It affected his brain. He can't.
And his leg.
His leg. His brain. His toes.
He got gout.
But... So, she, you know, Claire's still knocked out. She pulls up with the car, goes up there, unlocks the door to the attic, lets them all out, she was about to let them all out, and that's when
Clara snaps back to life.
Yeah, she snaps back to life, grabs Mary, locks the kids back up, and puts her in the cleaning chamber, which is just like, like I said, it's like a, literally like a freezer box with a sprayer.
Yeah,
a
spigot.
And that's how you clean off. You have to take off your clothes, and you clean off, and then she opens the door behind you. Mary goes in there, and that's when you see the first sign of an infected person, a zombie, or, you know, an infected, pretty much.
Yeah, which is Hank.
Hank.
A.K.A. looking like the main character in George Romero's Land of the Dead.
Yes.
Once again, another tie-in.
Yeah, and so there was so many tropes in this movie, which I get, you know, you want to have, like, callbacks. But you it's like literally, like you said, it's just a jumbled, like, put together of just cliches. Like I said, cliches and, you know, horror movie callbacks. Because I literally thought, like, well, because he's eating, what's her name? The girl that wanted to see Seth.
Shelly. No, Crystal.
Crystal, Seth's girlfriend. He's eating her. And I'm literally thinking, okay, he's about to do the Resident Evil turnaround, you know, real slow. But he doesn't. So, but, she walks in there. She tries to sneak past, and there's like this weird feeding trough.
Yeah, there's like this trough of like blood and entrails and everything. And okay, I can understand if they're like, if they, you know, let's say Clara grabbed like 27 kids. Yeah, you're feeding the non-participating members, the NPCs, you're feeding them to Hank down in the basement. But there's this trough of like blood and gruel. They're not ranchers. There's not cows on the property. There's not goats. There's not pigs. There's not chickens. There's nothing out there that's excreting blood except for these five kids, four in your attic,
yeah,
and one running freely.
But it's, I guess it's supposed to show you, like, hey, she's been doing this for a while. Like, she's been collecting kids.
Yeah, but it's going to get stagnant, and there's going to be maggots, and there's going to be, like, you know, blood dries up. It gets like this, like, almost like pudding.
Yeah.
It gets this skin on the top. It's all fresh blood that Hank's got in this trough. It's a giant trough. Who have you killed lately except for, you know, Crystal and Seth? Nobody.
Yeah. Because it's like a feeding trough because Seth's out in the fields.
Seth's out in the compost.
Oh, he's in the compost.
So now you have Crystal. So Crystal was
but
like...
But she's being eaten whole.
Yeah, and she's like a buck 10. So where'd you get, you know, 9 gallons of blood?
Yeah, but he does corner... Well, Mary sees the trough and it leads into like the main part of the house. You know, it's like a separate area that's blocked off where I'm assuming where Claire can go dump off like the whatever food she has for him, like whatever body parts, dump it in there. And it's like a two-way kind of thing, kind of like a prison cell, you know.
Yeah.
But I'll put the food there and then you can grab it, but you can't grab me.
Yeah, bring the tray back.
Yeah. Yeah. But so that happens. So she sees it and I'm like, okay, she's about to like plan her escape. And Hank corners her, and instead of eating her, he sniffs her, smells something familiar, and it was the earrings that Clara had given her.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming, like, again.
Were from her daughter.
Her daughter.
Yeah.
So he grabs, or he tells Mary to, or not tells, but like kind of signs Mary to grab them, and she gives them to him. And that's like, he has like a moment of like, you could tell like he kind of remembers. Like there's still some kind of.
There's some humanity left in
Hank.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hank's not all infected. There's a piece of...
So what if he ate Crystal 2 minutes ago? He's got humanity to him, damn it.
So she takes the opportunity while he's reminiscing to jump into that trough and crawl her way to the other side.
I thought that was a good scene.
Yes.
I did like that scene because, yeah, she had like a handful of entrail.
Like the descent where she's crawling out
of
the blood. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so she...
Well, what, another movie tie-in? No way.
So she gets out, you know? She makes it out. And she makes it out, and all the kids, you know, make it out. Because Clara was going to shoot the kids. She was pretty much going to execute the kids at this point with her rifle. And Jeffy hiding in the corner, when she walks into the attic, he stabs her. She goes down. They all escape, or they're going to escape.
Ben's looking very ill at this point. He's lost all color from
he has no color
from his leg injury. He looks almost gray.
We keep saying leg injury. He's still shot in the shoulder. I don't understand why he's limping. I don't understand why. Now, it could be the infection. But the thing is, you got shot in the shoulder. You didn't get shot in like a lethal part. Where like in The Walking Dead, like everybody's infected. And if you die, you come back as, you know, you get reanimated. It's not like that.
Here's my thought process, okay? If you're going to steal from a movie, okay? You could have stolen from Rambo. And when, what was the sister's name? Vicky?
Yeah, Vicky.
When Vicky stole all the matches, they could have broken off all the phosphorus ends of the matches, laid them inside of Ben's wounds, lit them on fire, and cauterized the wound. Very John Rambo-ish, but yes, it would have sealed that wound and it would have stopped leaking, and your brother wouldn't be gray trying to hobble down some
but
stairs.
He got sewed up. That's the thing. He was patched up.
But it kept bleeding because you kept seeing it through the pajama top.
I don't understand why it was bleeding, though.
Dude,
I mean, I can understand, like, if you have, like...
She's a piss-poor surgeon.
Because
that's all we can
they're
assess.
Not doing any kind of, like... He's not doing any kind of
excessive
movement.
No, it's not
movement.
Like he's up there, like, working out, like, building a barn or something up in the attic. He's just laying there for the most part. And that's probably the worst thing you can do in a wounded state, is just lay there.
Yeah, like, if he was critically wounded, again... He got shot in the shoulder. You know, I can understand if he got shot, like, you know, in the throat.
He got a paper cut. Took him down.
But the location of the wound, you know,
it's not life-threatening.
Yes. Like, he got sewn up.
Especially not for a young, able-bodied person. Now, it's different if the person has, like, you know, sickle cell anemia or something that they can't recover from wounds.
Yeah.
Or the diabetes, something like that. That's, you know, obviously going to affect the healing process.
Yeah.
This has none of the above, but then again, maybe it's just something that he didn't indicate.
Yeah. So he's going through it, and he's turning pale. Go downstairs. Fitz is banging on the door because he found Seth's head, and now he knows what's going on. He breaks open the door, and Hank makes it out because Mary makes it out, meets up with the others in the living room, but Hank also makes it out.
Yeah.
I don't know how he got out.
Oh, he swam. He saw how she got out, and he was like, oh, I'm going to copy that.
That's the only thing I could think of, because, like...
He had to have. I mean, what
else
did
he do? He was sealed
off,
unless, like, Clara let him out.
Or maybe he just Kool-Aid man through the wall.
I guess so. Oh, yeah. Because, yeah, he came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And...
Doesn't require an explanation. He's on the scene.
That's the only thing that bothered me. Like, how did he make it out? Like, unless he followed Mary into the blood thing...
That would be the only way that I could figure that he made it out, because Clara comes down the stairs. There's no way she could have been there. Like, there was no access to that room. It was through the living room. But yeah, you know.
Yeah,
you know where this is going to go.
So Hank makes it out, and, you know, they start... he grabs Vicky, bites her on the arm. Fitz breaks through, shoots Hank, and thinking, you know, he killed him. And he tells Vicky, he goes, hey, I'm going to put pressure on the wound, because... Really, what Fitz was doing is he was kind of portraying himself as this kid wrangler, when really what he was doing is trying to find kids to kind of take them across the border, you know?
Yeah.
He was like being like Harriet Tubman, I guess you could say, of the time. He was finding these kids and pretty much like underground railroading them to Mexico,
yeah.
So they can have sanctuary instead of being killed here in America. So that's what he was doing. He was putting on a facade pretty much. Like, hey, I'm this cop who's going to wrangle the kids. And then really what he's doing is helping them, which is cool. So you see that. He has a good redeeming quality to himself, unlike these other kids.
Which is why he's got to die.
Yeah, unfortunately. So he shoots Hank. Fitz tries to help Vicky. And Clara comes down with the rifle with her, you know.
Yep. Smokes him.
Yep, and smokes him, unfortunately. And... Finally.
Like Mary's little sister.
Finally. Somebody has some sense in this movie. Clara sees that Hank is dead. You know, weeps. And okay, mind you. Fitz had a gun. He had a pistol. He shot Hank with it. Killed him. Presumably. Killed him. Shoots him. Right? He gets shot by Clara. Falls to the ground. Clara sees that Hank is dead, her husband, weeps and mourns the body. There's a fucking gun right there.
No, no.
And mind you, remember, these kids know how to use a gun because Mary used it.
They've all been packing firearms.
Mary shot the convenience store lady before she, after, you know, or before the convenience store
lady shot her. Well, that's the whole thing, okay? That's the thing that trips me out, right? Okay, so you killed the shopkeeper.
Well, she didn't kill her, but she did wound her.
Okay, so she blasted the shopkeeper.
Yeah.
Okay? Person who pretty much didn't do anything. You were stealing from her. Old boy Ben was trying to chat her up, talking about tattoos, and so trying to lay the riz on her.
Yeah.
Right? So you shot that woman who you all were stealing from. But the woman who's kidnapped you kept you in prison for 5 days, done all kinds of unspeakable, ungodly things to you, done all this stuff. You give her a pass. Give her a pass.
Yeah, she could. They could have got the gun.
They could have smoked her.
Yeah. Instead, what does she do? She grabs her sewing needles, sticks her in the neck.
Yeah.
Again, we've seen Halloween. Laurie Strode stuck Michael in the neck.
Yep.
And he still got back up. So why would this be any different?
Yeah.
But to my surprise, she doesn't get back up. She is. That's it.
Well, you don't know. They might be like setting us up for a sequel.
I wouldn't mind a sequel if they do it better than this.
Stick to the plot.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
So of course, you know, now they're
the car's ready to go.
They're free, you know. Vicky obviously is now realizing that she's been bitten and therefore she's infected. So Ben, you know, he's 50 Shades of Grey. So he's done.
Yeah. He's on his way out.
He's out. Vicky realizing that she is going to turn and she's not going to be the person that she once was.
Well, what happened was the car wouldn't start.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why it wouldn't start, because it ran perfectly when Mary brought it from the barn to.
Yeah, well.
So.
You got the whole Friday the 13th part 4 scenario where Corey Feldman's got to get out and start the car.
Yeah, so.
You forgot that.
Jeffy,
you
know, gets out, yeah, and is like, let me pull the hood up. Does something. Doesn't show what he does. It's all right, start it. So she starts it. It goes. Shuts the hood, and Hank is right behind him. And Hank chases him, or bites him, actually.
Yeah,
he does bite him.
Bites Jeffy.
Bites Jeffy. Now, mind you, the car's running. Why does everybody get out of the car?
Got to.
Now, I can understand Ben. He's like, oh, I want to sacrifice myself. You know, I'm already dying. My shoulder wound is fatal. Yes. And so he, you know, he goes and he fights Hank. And Hank messes him up.
Yeah, okay, you're already dead, bro. Like, okay, you're like, seriously? He's, you can't even walk. How are you going to fight a grown-ass zombie man?
And then Vicky gets out of the car.
Yeah.
And goes to get the gun. Why they didn't grab it in the first place beats me, because they had a revolver at the beginning of the movie.
I changed my ways in the attic.
So she runs into the house. Instead of all of them driving off and hitting this motherfucker, excuse my language, but instead of hitting him.
And there's nothing in the car?
Yeah.
You couldn't pop the trunk and grab a tire iron?
Exactly.
Like, you couldn't grab anything out of this car to lay a zombieoid to waste.
Yeah.
You had to go back, and they all, they're normal reaction. Let's go back in the house. I'm sorry, but if I just pseudo think I killed that chick Clara, I ain't going back in that house.
Yeah.
You couldn't pay me money to go back in that house. That chick could still be 7 days of life left in her.
Exactly.
She could be resurrecting for the 13th time. I don't trust that chick. I'm not going back in that house.
Yeah.
But not them. No. They all run right back in.
So Vicky goes and gets the gun, shoots Hank, finally kills him. And, of course, Ben's there on the ground. You know,
He's done. Finally.
So they mourn Ben because he dies. And then Jeffy is like, hey, your neck is... Now, that's what I liked. That's what I started to like. It's like you start to see the infection kind of growing on Vicky. It's like turning her.
Yeah, but it's the last 5 minutes of
it's,
the movie.
Yeah, it's too late. It's like Wolfman. Like, oh, yeah. Hey, by the way, here's the werewolf. And it's like, well, it's too late. The movie's over.
Yeah. You want to get into like the progression of the disease this late in the film?
And so when I talk about Wolfman, I'm talking about the new one that just came out.
Yeah.
Not the old one. The old one's perfect. It's good the way it is.
Don't.
But. That so she's like, oh, you know, I'm sorry, Jeffy. Like, I'm turning, takes the gun and offs herself because she's turning. And I'm like, okay, I don't feel anything because you made her such an ass the whole movie. I don't feel anything for
her. You made all these characters so unlikable. Like, dude, Ben didn't do anything to like
the very end.
Yeah. Like, dude, if I'm the older brother and you kidnap my little sister and my little brother, dude, every ounce of life I have, I'm not going to wait until, like, you know, this paper cut takes me to where I can't move either leg and I'm crawling on the floor with my tongue. I'm not waiting until I get to that incapacitated state to try and mess you up.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not like this attic has nothing in it. It's not like it's like a safe room where it's like just simply like wood floorboards and you've got a sink with pipes. I'm sorry, I'm taking a little piece of pipe.
They had
tucking
stuff.
It up. Tucking it up my leg, that
doesn't
work.
There was a table. There was a table in that room. They could have beat the crap out of Clark. Okay, if Jeffy could hide, like, next to the door and stab Clara, they could have, like, hit him in the back of the head and just beat the crap out of
him. Dude, all you would have had to done, Jeffy was a small little cat, right? He was not that big. Okay, Jeffy could have basically, you could have taken pieces of the table while everyone was sleeping because Clara sleeps. Put it above the door. Put Jeffy up there. When she comes the next morning to give you your breakfast or whatever, Jeffy's up there with a table leg.
Yeah.
You get Jeffy's clothes. I don't care if you're butt naked and you got to kill somebody. Things happen, okay? Lord of the Flies. Get up there. Put him up there. Bam, you come in the door. Bam, crush your skull with the freaking table leg and you're done. We're free. Woohoo! Let's go get the Thunderbird and drive off into the sunset to Las Cruces and find Fitz and go, you know, down to Sonora. Whatever. But no. This had none of that. So now Jeffy is bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mary's going to, she's going to save the day.
Yeah.
So they drive off.
Well, Vicky, she kills herself.
She kills herself.
It's then shown that Jeffy was bit. And so he pushes Mary away and, you know, to pretty much, like, you go, I'm, like, my family's dead now.
Yeah.
So, and I'm bitten, so you might as well just go. But instead, what she does is she takes an infected person to the sanctuary where kids are all safe. That doesn't make sense. Why would you risk? I mean, maybe like, hey, maybe they can help. But if adults are prone to get the disease and the kid gets infected and you take them to somewhere where the kids are protected because they're not infected, and you spread that disease further.
But on top of that, you make it seem like now you have like this. I don't know what, you know, what she was really trying to get at with the story. But my take on the scenario is, okay, so you're going to take Jeffy because you're going to be like, you know, there's hope for him. There's hope for the infected. There's hope. We can make this. After you let all the other infected people die, and before those kids even got infected, before Ben got infected, before, you know, Vicky got infected, before all this went down, you could have saved those kids too, simply by killing Clara.
Yeah.
But now you're some, you know, patriarch.
Yeah, and then you have like a Gran Torino moment, you know.
Yeah.
Driving off in the sunset, yeah. It's been a hard life, you know.
Maybe it was Thelma and Louise. I couldn't tell. There were a lot of things
that could have been fixed with better writing. Could have been
way better about this movie. But once again, I was not expecting Flipping Perfection. It's a damn Tubi movie.
Yeah, its debut.
Yeah.
Now, the reviews on this movie
are,
dude, my gosh. I've heard KKK members speak nicer about black people than what these people have said about this movie. Yeah. And about the daughter of Steven Spielberg. Again, it's one of those things where you don't want to use, you don't want to write on the coattails of your father's legacy, right? He's made some great movies. There's no denying that. Again, however you feel personally, we're not that kind of podcast.
Yeah.
We're here to critique movies and talk about scary shit. That's it. So, just film-wise is what we're talking about. I get it. It's her debut film. It released on Tubi. It debuted on Tubi for us and here in America. It's not going to be perfect. It had the good things about it. It had a good story, but it could not stay consistent.
It didn't deliver.
Yeah, it didn't deliver. It had a good premise, I should say. Story was terrible, but it had a good premise. Like, again, like I said,
it's something you could build on.
Yeah, a horror story within a horror story, you know? That's great. I like that. Somebody holding people hostage while there's, like, infected people running around. Cool. But you have to stay consistent with what you're telling. You still have to show me the other horror.
And you also have to basically expound upon the horror that you're originally presenting.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, oh, there's a creature in the woods. You know, like, you can't village me.
Yeah.
Oh, there's something out in the woods with a goat head. And then come back to it 2.5 hours later and be like, oh, well, there was
a... By the way.
Yeah. By the way, that was, you know, that was a zombie.
Yeah, it was like Wolfman. It was more drama than it was Wolfman. Like, more than it was horror. Like,
see, here's the thing that I don't know. I read the reviews. Yeah. Like, I read multiple reviews, and everybody, you know, got on, you know, their high horse about nepotism, nepotism, nepotism.
Yeah, Nepo baby. This,
yeah, it's a Nepo movie with a Nepo baby and da-da-da. Okay. Let's clear the air. My dad was an award-winning director, and he let me release this movie and didn't care to, like, try and supervise me. And, like, I'm sorry. You look back 40 years ago, okay, we had E.T. We had all these things that basically Spielberg came out with, right?
Yeah.
Okay, this has none of the redeeming qualities of that. So if it was nepotism and you were just basically going through and, you know, it was because you're giving into this hierarchy and this royal family kind of tradition, don't you think it would have been much more produced? Because if it was nepotism, then basically, like, Spielberg would have thrown his hand in it and been like, oh, no, no,
and
let me clean it up for you. Let me make it like this. Let me make it like... No, he let her try, and maybe she tried, and she failed.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Again, it's that silver lining. I see good things, though, in it.
Yeah. I don't think it's a total failure.
No.
But, I mean, is it like...
But these people are talking
don't
like...
expect, you know, don't expect Spielberg Sr. quality stuff out of this film.
Yeah, you're putting a name to a movie that has nothing to do with it. You know, you're watching this movie and expecting a Steven Spielberg film. No, it's his daughter who is most likely like, hey, look, love what you do, Dad, but I gotta do something like on my own.
Yeah, Spielberg Sr. isn't coming out with anything like this.
I've acted in these great movies, whatever, but now it's my turn to direct something that I want to direct. Yeah, you're right. It's something different that, you know, I've never seen. I mean, Spielberg come out with, like, a type movie like that. That's the thing. She had a good premise, man, that horror within a horror story.
Yeah.
So
it's layered.
Yeah.
It had...
Now, was the writing bad? Yes. But that's the thing is, like, who knows what she was working with?
But the camera work was great.
The
visual effects were good.
Yeah.
The makeup was great. Maybe the
sniping scene where the
daughter okay,
gets
but
sniped.
Still it was done well.
Yeah.
Okay, it didn't look like all cheesy, you know. It didn't look like a bag of hamburger helper and spaghetti coming out the side of this chick's head. It looked good. It was quality.
But yeah, it just I think people are like really, really like giving it harsh stuff, comparing it to her father's work, you know. Doing the whole Nepo baby thing, like, no, dude, like, let's just take away the last name. If you took away the last name, how would people be talking about this movie? Let's be honest. If it wasn't like Destry Spielberg, if it was just Destry Allen, you know, left the last name out, how would you feel about this? You probably didn't even know she was the daughter of Steven Spielberg. I mean, besides the last name, but like, really, how would we be looking at this movie? Because after I watched the movie without knowing who directed it, I watched it because I saw the trailer, boom, watched it. Then I did my research on it and I'm like, oh, this is, you know, the daughter of Steven Spielberg. Did it change my opinion about the movie? No, because I still critiqued it the same way before I knew who it was.
Yeah.
But once I found out it was like a debut feature and it was their first one that she directed, you know, on her own, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I understand why there was some plot holes, why there was some, you know, maybe some writing failures. But it wasn't a bad, like, terrible movie.
No, it had its merit. I mean, it's just like, it's like anything else in life. Like, I mean, just to take it home myself, my dad was a machinist. Okay, my dad could like fabricate tools. My dad could do all this stuff. If I go and like get a job with my dad and my dad is a tool fabricator and I go through, do you think that I'm just going to walk up to a lathe and be like, oh yeah, I know exactly how to program the CNC coding. I've got that covered. Do, 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 Yeah. Oh, but look at that. I kicked out like X-teen parts. You know, they're down to the, you know, the 1/16th percentile. There you go.
Yeah.
Quality product right off the bat. Hail to the no.
Yeah.
Dude, I would have been cutting through metal. I probably would have cost the company like $200,000. Well,
perfect example is me. My dad is a cotton farmer, worked on a cotton farm for 30-something years, right? I worked with him for a year. Now, I go in, I'm doing a good job, and then if people don't know, there's a thing called a module builder. Yeah, if you see out in some of these fields where there's like these big old stacks of like cotton bricks, I worked the machine that makes those. It easy, right? One night, I forgot to open the gate and then pull out, and I broke it, like $1,000 equipment, broke it. Now, was our boss like, well, you know, your dad has been doing this for 30, somebody whose dad's been doing this for 30 years, I wouldn't expect this out of you. No, he was like, oh, hey, man, we make mistakes.
Stuff happens. Yeah.
You know? But they're not going to be like, oh, come on, man, your dad's been doing this for a long time, and he's done great work. You should be doing great work, too.
Yeah.
On your first try.
You only got this job because your dad's been here 30 years, and your dad built amazing cotton bales from, you know, from Littlefield all the way over here to Lubbock County. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Yeah, I just...
Yeah, I think if her last name wasn't her last name, I think people would be critiquing this movie a lot differently. A good example is the Twisted Childhood films. You know, these are indie directors, independent films. Yeah, some people don't like them because those Disney adults. But if you're a Disney adult, I don't care. I'm just joking with you. But you know what I mean? Like those people who are like really holding on to these characters. Yeah, they don't like them. But people who love different things and odd things, critiquing them very well. Can't wait to see Peter Pan Neverland Nightmare. Can't wait to see Bambi the Reckoning. Oh, so stoked for Pinocchio Unstrung. Right? But add like a famous last name to it. And you're oh, man, you know, your father would think, you know, I can't believe your father's letting you direct these stupid movies. I think we're just at an age where film is at an all-time height. People don't know what to make. And I think horror is starting to become the forefront of cinema right now because of the remakes, the reboots, stuff like that. So, like, we critique stuff pretty hard now. I think we're just comparing it to these films that are just, I don't know what to say like anymore.
I mean, they have just huge, like colossal budgets.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's what it is. Like they're comparing him, these low budget movies to these high budget films.
Yeah.
That's fine. But again, these are just like, these are people who are starting off their careers.
Well, but I mean, okay. What were the critics as harsh on Megan 2.0? No, they weren't. Like, when you come through and you go through and you, like, have money and backing. Thing that I liked about it, speaking about, like, independent films, I love the fact that this debuted to Tubi.
Yes. Okay?
Because, seriously, like, if I was pulling a card that my daddy was this big Hollywood director in XXX.
In theaters. Today.
Absolutely. Yes. It would have been playing in a limited release nationwide.
Yes.
Even us people out here in Lubbock County would have got to see it in the movie theater.
Yeah.
But no. She didn't pull that card.
And I guarantee you a lot more people would be. I would understand the criticism if you had to spend $15 on a ticket to watch that.
Yeah.
I get it. But it's on Tubi. Dude, Tubi has like weird, like the Incredible Bulk for some knockoff Marvel movies and like knockoff Disney films.
Yeah. Sharknado. I mean, Sharknado's
well,
on
first
there.
Of all. We're talking about cinema masterpiece there.
Okay.
You don't talk bad about Sharknado.
I'm saying Sharknado's on there. That's the one place you can find it.
But yeah, if you're going to watch this movie, it's not like terrible to watch. You are going to get mad at parts because you're like, dude, you're an idiot. But it's just like good to see like, okay, what is this director going to do and what's she going to do after this? You know, is she going to stick with this thriller horror genre? Is she going to be like, not for me. I tried it, failed. Let's move to something else.
Or is she going to expound on it? I mean, she could totally expound on it and do something.
You polish know. Up the writing.
Yeah.
Polish up the storyline.
She might come at us like, you know, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. She might come through and make part two and make it look like this was like some made-for-TV, a current affair episode.
That would be pretty cool.
Dude, that would be totally sweet.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, you know, outbreak in Las Cruces. And go through it. And you could do all that. Like, that's a great part, you know. Like, I wouldn't give up. I'd keep going at it. And, you know... Haters gonna hate.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, a lot of people, they give a lot of credit to a lot of stuff just because it has a lot of money to it.
Yeah.
You know, you can diamond encrust a turd, but it's still a turd.
And Megan had a lot of money to it, dude.
Megan had a ton of money. And
I don't listen to Rotten Tomatoes because those reviews are kind of skewed certain ways.
Yeah.
I listen to, like, people, you know, who they're pretty much make their living critiquing movies. You know, so, like, some YouTubers, some articles, stuff like that. It sounds like Megan 2.0 didn't do very well. I had no interest in seeing it just because, like, there was already an AI animatronic that went wrong, you know, with Chucky, the new one, you know, where he was, like, artificial intelligence and he goes bad. But with Megan, I think with Megan 2.0, they try to polish a lot of stuff off. It went from AI gone bad to Skynet. Like, literally, like, now Megan is, like, you know,
yeah.
The Terminator. Again, I mean, I've said it. I'm repeating myself from a couple episodes ago. But, yeah, it just it didn't look good. They made her older now because a lot of people were getting creepy with her. I mean, that's let's be honest. That's why they kind of grew her up in this film. Because, like, you know, how weird some creepy dudes, let's be honest, were being with this character. So they grew her up.
Yeah, but they gave her, like, the Black Widow outfit in this one. I don't know.
Yeah, they did, like, a whole, like, Kill Bill, like, suit. Yeah. And I'm like, so is this still, like, a AI gone bad horror movie? Or is this just a sci-fi thriller? And that's why, and it doesn't look like.
Don't know. If I had to, like, honestly throw my 2 cents on it, I'd probably have to watch the movie. Yeah. And I have no real intention.
Yeah. This is just from the reviews I've seen.
Yeah, I watched the first one. It was palatable. It wasn't horrible. Do I have an interest in watching the next one? No. I just don't have an interest in it.
Yeah.
It's not my, you know, type of movie. Yeah. So
I like reviewing, like, independent films and films that just, like, seem like, you know, 28 years later, it's been 18 years since the last one came out. So, yeah, it was worth the review. I Know What You Did Last Summer just came out today.
Yeah, it comes out tonight.
As we're recording Thursday night. Again, we do things where, you know, let the viewers kind of, or let the listeners watch the movie, give it a week, and then you can hear about what we think about it, because I'm definitely watching this movie. I want to see.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see how they can scream this one up.
Fred Prinze Jr.
Now, I do like I Know What You Did Last Summer, but again, are they going to do a whole Scream thing where it's like, okay, I Know What You Did Last Summer, you know, four.
I just want to see how, well, there's the miniseries now.
Yeah.
There are 7 episodes. So you can watch those to basically, like, see kind of in the direction that they're going on. So there's a series of I Know What You Did Last Summer's, like a television show. And so they're out right now, and they just got released. And now the movie's coming out. So, yeah, I mean, I'm interested. I think they're going to bring some new blood into it. No pun intended. They're going to bring some new characters. You know, bring the old characters back. Which, I mean, I don't really mind when they do stuff like that. But we'll see how it turns out.
Well, unless you have, like, a plot like Scream, and now everybody's, like, revived. But
Scream, everybody came back. It's like you brought everyone back.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised they didn't unbury the Fonz and bring him back. Seriously, Henry Winkler's corpse just in the corner. Hey! No. Shit.
Oh, but yeah, that was our episode, guys. A review of Please Don't Feed the Children. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you go watch it, don't critique it too hard. You're probably not going to like it. But if you're like just an average, like not average, but if you're a film enjoyer, it's kind of good to see where people are going, you know, when they first debut. You know, John Carpenter's first film wasn't cinema excellence, but, you know, it had good things to it.
Yeah, he got there.
I enjoyed it, but, you know, it got better over time.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see what it goes from here. But other than that, guys, thank y'all so much for listening. Please spread our podcast to everyone, to your family, your friends, strangers.
The Spielberg children.
The Spielberg children. There's like 20 of them I didn't even know.
They're all directors.
Yeah, I didn't know that, dude. I did when I did research. Because I don't keep up with, like, their
children. Yeah, I don't keep up with families, yeah.
You know, I know, obviously, I know directors and stuff like that because of the films we watch, but, like, I didn't know their children, like...
Honestly, and I don't even know how the hell this happened, probably because I was a child of the 80s, but, like, the Coppola kids.
Yeah.
Like, Nicholas Coppola, a.k.a. Nicholas Cage, all y'all who don't know, yeah. I don't know who doesn't know that. And then, of course, Sophia. Like, that's really, truthfully, the only akin that I know.
Hey, but Nick, he did pretty good, man. He's doing pretty good.
Yeah, he did.
I want to review Renfield one of these days. Because, God, dude, that's such a good... I think he gave justice to some of the vampires.
Oh, man, Mandy.
Some of the Draculas.
Mandy.
Oh, and Mandy.
Mandy, probably the best.
A trip. That's a trip of a movie.
Freaking Cheddar Goblin.
Anyways, we're ranting. Well, I mean, we're kind of bleeding on. But, yeah, guys, thank y'all so much for listening. Please rate and review us anywhere you can. Again, spread us around. Follow us on Instagram. Link will be in the description of this episode. And we will see you
next week.
Next week.